Amen. How blessed we are to have Mark Culpepper with us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 29th chapter now, as we are studying the life of David. 1 Samuel chapter 29. We're actually going to deal with two chapters, chapter 29 and chapter 30. Just going to read a few verses to get us started. 1 Samuel 29, beginning in the beginning. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed by in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." And God blesses the reading of his word. Will you join with me for another moment of prayer? Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us to the center of your will, that this would be a day, Father, of our becoming more of what you want us to be. And we thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for what you will do in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Psalms, there is a recurring message about God as the good shepherd, a shepherd that watches over his flock. And as a good shepherd watches over his flock, the Psalms tell us our Heavenly Father watches over his children. You're familiar with the 23rd Psalm. It's one of those passages of Scripture that stick in our mind. If we don't know anything else in the Bible, we know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It just kind of rolls off the tongue real quickly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we may have said it so many times, and we may have gone through it in our minds just so quickly that we haven't really paid attention to the fact that it really means something. If you are a believer, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've invited him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, save your soul, then the Lord God says that he is your shepherd, and he is going to so take care of you that when you walk with him, you'll not have another want in your life. He's going to care for all of your needs, all of your cares, and all that is necessary for you to accomplish his purpose. No matter how dark the days may seem, boy, it does seem to be getting dark in our world. No matter how bleak the days are, don't ever buy into the devil's lie that God has abandoned you or that God doesn't care about you. Psalms 139:17 says, "How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the grains of sand." Ever been to the beach and been in the sand, and then you get home and weeks later you still have sand? And it seems like you just can't get rid of all the sand. Just think of it. You can't get rid of God's thoughts about you. God's desire, not only to think about you, but his thoughts about you are to bless your life. God wants to make your life better. He has a purpose for you. And he is going to seek to preserve your life that you may fulfill that purpose. And no matter what you think of your own life, and no matter how big or little you think you are, it is God that has a purpose for you that is your best possible purpose on planet Earth. In Psalms 121:7, it says, The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I believe David learned the truth of abiding with God and how much God cares for him and how much God cares for us through some very dark times in his life. And some of those dark times are outlined in the scripture that God gives us today. You know, we honor David as a man after God's own heart. That's a great banner to have, after God's own heart, living in sync with God. Yet as we've studied his life, we have found out that David had a lot of times when he wasn't in sync. A lot of moments when he didn't do the right things. A lot of moments when he followed his own selfishness and actually fell into sin instead of following God. David's life lives as a testimony that should challenge us as believers to know that we can fall. We can mess up. And God still loves us. And God still wants to use our lives. And God still wants to call our lives back to him. In this chapter, we see David out of Israel. He is out of the reach of Saul, but he's also out of the will of God. David is not where God wanted him to be, and he's not doing what God wanted him to do. This is David. And it's a message to us when we are out of God's will, when we're not where God wants us to be, when we're not doing what God wants us to do, we can find ourselves in an unwinnable situation. Verse 1 and 2. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain which is in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines passed by in hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed by on the rear with Achish. Here is David. He's been chosen out of all the men that were alive to be the next king of Israel. Think about it. He's the next king to lead the children of God. And yet, he's not standing with Israel. Israel is preparing to go to war with the Philistines, and David is on the wrong side. David is marching in the wrong parade. He's camping with the wrong camp. He is buttering his bread on the wrong side. When you as a Christian do not follow Jesus Christ in your walk, in your life, in your thoughts, you're going to find yourself in a mess like David. He can't win. If he stays with the Philistines, he's going to have to be with them in launching an attack on his own people. How in the world is he going to lead Israel when they know that he fought with the pagan army against them? They know that he betrayed them. So David could refuse to fight, refuse to go into battle. If that's the case, he's going to be betraying King Achish, to whom he's sworn allegiance. And the Philistines would turn on him and they would destroy David and his men. If David decided to make a run for it, just get away, go over to the Israelites, he probably wouldn't get very far. But what if he did? What if he got over to the army on the other side? The army on the other side that had been seeking to kill him for the last 10 years. He probably would not have a warm welcome. So David's learning some lessons. When you disobey God, when you make bad decisions against God's will, when you follow after the wrong patterns, you will go the wrong way. And when you go the wrong way, you're going to end up in the wrong place. And when you end up in the wrong place, you're going to find yourself with the wrong people. And when you find yourself with the wrong people, Don't be surprised when you get to an unwinnable situation. Just when things are looking pretty bad for David, God steps in. God is the great Calvary, comes to the rescue. Now, David has been putting on a front. He's been trying to make it look like he's with the Philistines because that's what he said he was. He and his men march by, and as they march by, all the Philistines see them, and the Philistines have a duck. Verse 3, what are these Hebrews doing here? In verse 4, and the princes of the Philistines were angry. They weren't just mildly angry. They were blowing a gasket. They were just boiling mad. In verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang, Saul slew his thousands and David his tens of thousands? You see, they had heard the Hebrews' top songs. And they had heard this little song about Saul slaying his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, and they started connecting the dots. If David had slew tens of thousands, and that would be the enemies of Israel, let's see, who's the main Israel enemy? Oh, that would be us, the Philistines. That would mean David had been killing thousands upon thousands of us. No wonder they didn't want David around. And if he had killed us before, he would turn on us now and he could kill us now. We will not go to battle with David. So Achish goes to David and tells him he can't go in with him to battle. Now, David doesn't know when to leave well enough alone. He puts on a big show. Oh, king, I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'll go fight with you. And Achish says, no, you've got to go away. The truth is, David does not want to fight against his own people. David does not want to go into battle with them. The truth is, it is secretly tearing him apart that he is in this unwinnable situation, and he might be in the place of killing his own people. So David is sent away. David's sent back to Ziklag. If you're ever sent back to Ziklag, you know you've done something wrong. But when David gets on the road back to Ziklag, you gotta know they get out of the sight of all the Philistines, and David says, yes, I've been spared. I don't have to fight my own people. I get to go back and we get to see our wives and children. It's going to be wonderful, and we don't have to enter this battle. There are times we are in unwinnable situations because of our sins, and God is merciful to us. Now, mercy is when God doesn't treat you as you deserve to be treated. You see, David deserved to be in that horrible mess that he was in. He was siding against God, against God's will. Maybe in your life you've gotten yourself into a mess because you sided against God and against God's will. And as a result, you ended up in this unwinnable situation. But God loves you so much, God stepped in and spared you. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had God just step in and spare you? You didn't deserve to be spared, but he spared you anyway? Oh, I have. What a blessing to have God deal with us in mercy. When God doesn't come down with us on judging us the way he should or the way we should be judged, not the way he should, because whatever he does is right. But God chooses to act toward us in love, and he chooses to give us another breath and another chance. So David is sent back to Ziklag. He's not going to have to fight a battle against Israel. Everything's going to be okay now. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. David was out of the world of belief, and yet God did not deny himself. God stepped in to spare David and to rescue David. If God has ever pulled you out of such a situation, shouldn't you be smart enough now to bow before God and say, God, whatever you want? Shouldn't we as believers be willing to say, okay, God, now I am yours? So here's David. He's been spared from this unwinnable situation. Everything's going to be okay now, right? No. David runs in to an unthinkable sight. In chapter 30, verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken into captivity. David had disobeyed God. He had gone the wrong way. He had ended up with the wrong people in the wrong place. And you know what? Wrong things happened. It's a good message for everyone, really, but we tell this message to kids all the time. If you hang out with the wrong people in the wrong place, wrong things are going to happen. That's true for everybody. It certainly was true for David. David and his men are relieved. They get to go back to Ziklag. That's where their families are. And when they get there, they see their city has been burned. They immediately go to where their homes were, and when they go to where their homes were, their families are not there. Their families are gone. Their children are gone. Their animals are gone. They're left with a charred rubble. What's it going to take to get David's attention? What's it going to take to get David to wake up and open his eyes to God? He barely escapes going to war with his own people, but he still didn't turn back to God. Now he sees that all is lost. Their wives, their children, their animals, all their wealth. So he needs to, at this time, wake up. I sometimes wonder, what will it take for America? Don't you think the wars that we have been in should have been enough? Don't you think the lost lives in battle should have been enough? Don't you think 9/11 should have been enough? Don't you think a plague should be enough? In verse 6, and David was getting distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Listen, David saw all was lost, then he turns around and thinks, oh, well, I still have my army with me, and the army he has with me is now ready to kill him. And he finally gets the idea. Where do you turn when everything's against you? Where do you turn when the sky is falling? Where do you turn when there's no place to turn? Well, there's always one you can turn to, and that's Jesus. He turns to the Lord his God. He encourages himself in the Lord. When all is dark and getting darker, turn back to Jesus. When you know you've messed up and stepped away from God and it's brought hurt and harm to yourself and others, turn back to Jesus. When you know that there is no hope for you on your own, turn back to Jesus. And for Northside Baptist Church and every other church that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we should be shouting from the rooftops to America, turn back to Jesus. Tragedy will bring out the best in people, or it will bring out the worst in people. Finally, David wakes up and he goes to the Lord. he's getting his heart right with the Lord. His family is lost. He doesn't know whether he'll ever see them again. Children lost. All of the animals lost. The city is lost. Oh, but God is still there. Perhaps David remembered how God had blessed him, how God had been with him when he was just a shepherd boy. Perhaps he remembered how God had strengthened him to kill the lion and to kill the bear. Maybe he remembered how it was when he faced the giant Goliath and the giant came crashing to the ground by the power of God. And he began to know that everything that's happened good in his life has happened when he has followed God, and now he is ready to follow God again. To remember, God has a plan for his life. He's going to get in that plan. God has a plan for your life. You need to get in that plan. Verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. Now think about this. Everything's gone. Somebody's taken his family. Somebody's taken his animals. Somebody's taken his possessions. Should he go after them? That's almost a duh question, isn't it? You would think, well, of course. You got 600 men. Why wouldn't you go after them? But you see, David now has learned he needs to look to God for what he's going to do. He's not going to do it just because it seems like a good idea to him. He takes time and he seeks out what God desires for him to do. And he is going to do it God's way. My friend, no matter how easy things may seem to you to decide, take time to pray and do things God's way. And we find an unmerited splendor in verse 24. As his part is who goes down into battle, so shall his part be who tarries by the stuff. David and his men find an Egyptian who is willing to help them find their families and find the enemies. There is a great victory. Everybody is recovered. Everyone, every member of their family, nobody is lost. Not a wife was lost, not a child was lost, not a donkey was lost. God returned it all to them. Think of the joy. Think of the joy. Everything had been lost in their minds. Their whole lives were over, but now it's all returned to them. And on top of that, there is a lot of spoils of war for them. They have been made rich when they thought all was gone. They have to be rejoicing, have to be thinking about all the blessings they have. And then somebody said, well, we need to get back and share this with the people that were guarding our stuff. If you remember back at the beginning when they set out, they had 600 men. They left 200 with the stuff to guard the stuff. Those guys didn't get to go with them into battle, didn't get to go with them on the campaign. But now they have the families, and now they have everything, and now they're coming back. And the question is, well, what about the guys who stay with the stuff? And the army is very selfish, and they don't want to give anybody anything. And David sets a law. Everybody would share equally in the blessings of God. I can almost hear them. Well, they don't deserve it. They didn't do anything. David has kind of caught on to a principle of God. You don't get God's blessing because you deserve them. You don't. God is willing to give his blessings to all who come to him. We could never deserve the blessings of God. We can never deserve the forgiveness of God. How are you going to deserve Jesus hanging on a cross for you? But God is willing to bless you when you don't deserve it, if you'll just come to him. There's another message for us here, a message about the mission field. You know, every year we collect funds and we send offerings to the mission field. We have missionaries around the world. We have missionaries in other parts of North America where we can't be. And those missionaries are going. And we're not going there. We're just sending money there. And you know, the question is, well, what about while they do? What about all the blessings they're going to get? Well, God's principle here is, if you have been faithful to grow the ministry here, to support the work there, everybody that's saved there is a great blessing to those that had a part in that ministry. And you've had a part in that ministry. And God's blessings will pour on those that have gone, and God's blessings will pour on those that have stayed and been faithful. The real mark of the blessing is being faithful. As we walk with God, God will bless us in what He gives us to do. And if that is here, building the ministry here so that we can fund the ministry there, you know, none of us deserve to be a part of anybody coming to Jesus. But you know, those of you that are faithful here, whether you share the gospel with someone who makes that decision or not, you are part of everybody that we baptize. And even though you're not in that far country of the north where we have missionaries and they're sharing the gospel, because you fund them sharing the gospel, you're part of that salvation. And God shares His blessings on all. Now, we need to be very faithful to doing everything God gives us to do. If God calls you to go, then, my friend, you need to go. But if God's call for you is to stay, then you're to be a missionary here. And you're to stay, and you're to be a part of all that God desires. None of us deserve a part of the salvation of the lost. But if you follow the Lord, God will give you that opportunity to be a part. And God will give you that opportunity to be blessed. And so all of David's army received the blessing. All those who are faithful to the Lord will receive the blessing. Even you, even me. And if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, then you've never entered the world of blessing. You've never really entered what life is all about. And so today we want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He rose for you. And that blessing can be yours if you will open your heart and invite Jesus to come in and save your soul. In just a moment here, we'll give you an opportunity just to come forward and say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together and Jesus will save your soul this very day. And if you're watching online and you need Jesus as your Savior, reach out to Him today and He will save you. What do we need? We need believers that will wake up and follow God. And we need lost people who will realize who Jesus is and be saved. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask that You would move within our hearts, that You would draw us to decisions today. Father, how merciful You have been to us again and again and again when we don't deserve it. And yet You pour Your mercy out and You give us opportunities to get right with You, to be blessed by You. And so, Father, I pray that in this moment, that believers, Father, will be totally awake to Your desire for their heart. And Father, those that need to come and to kneel at the altar and just rededicate themselves to You will do so. And Father, those that do not know You will wake up to the truth that they need Jesus more than anything. And they will accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Guide us to decisions now, in this moment. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would You come?